Let's bow our heads and begin with a word of prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, we do want to praise you today for your incredible gift. All of our hope, all of our joy, all of our peace is derived from your gift. Jesus, from your life and your death. And Lord, tonight we just ask you that in a special way, you'd bring your joy to this world. And you'd bring some of your peace and goodwill to our nation. We are in difficult days, Lord. Difficult days. We're in a time, Lord, where so many do not understand you. Many misunderstand you. And there's much animosity today. We ask you to help us, Lord, as Christians, as we go home to our families, as we see friends, that we would represent you well. And that we remember to pray for those who would seek our harm and do good to those who speak evil against us. No one was more spoken evil against Lord Jesus than you. And we can never forget your words as you hung on that cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. We ask you, Lord, that you'd fill our hearts with the Christmas spirit, with the spirit of Christ, with the spirit of your love, your spirit of your compassion, the spirit of your generous nature towards the men and women that are in our lives. Some of them know you, some of them do not. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love them and to show Christ in all we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight we're going to finish this series entitled, Is There Hope for Me? And I shared with you a few weeks ago, the reason I started this series is because, you know, in my interactions with people over the years, so many people find themselves kind of stuck. They kind of wonder to themselves, Mark, am I ever going to be able to overcome these issues that I deal with? My past, my background, my personal issues. You know, it's interesting to think about our issues as compared to God. Our issues are finite. They would easily fit in a box. But God's power and God's ability is infinite. There's nothing God cannot do. There's nothing God can't change. There's no difficulty that's too hard for God. Moses, when God told him to go speak to Pharaoh, Moses thought he had a really good excuse. He said, Lord, I've always stuttered. And he did. He had a really bad stutter. He said, I'm not an orator. And God said, Moses, who made your mouth? I'm bigger than your mouth. You go. You go and watch what I do. Imagine for a moment if Moses let his mouth get in the way. Well, we wouldn't have the story that we have today. Moses would have never seen the power of God unleashed in the way that he did if he had decided, my problem with my mouth is too big. God can't possibly handle it. God, go find somebody else. I have tremendous hope. I could just tell you so many stories this evening, but I don't have time. Of the ways in which God has transformed my life over the years. I wouldn't have believed when I was a young man that today I would make my living with my mouth. That someday I would stand in front of people and get to share with them about Jesus Christ and talk to them about the good news of God. No one would believe it. My teachers wouldn't believe it. My family wouldn't believe it. Nobody would believe it. I don't like being in front of people. People scare me. They're always thinking negative things about you. That's what we can think anyway. the single greatest fear actually that people have is public speaking. It's a scary thing. And I think about all the personal issues the Lord has taken me through over the years. I can tell you that there is nothing that God cannot do. There's nothing in your life that we cannot overcome. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But we have to decide, am I going to believe that or not? Am I going to believe that God can work in my life? That the God who made the world, the God who just spoke it into being, the God who hung the stars, the God who put all of these planets in their place, the God who made me on a cellular level, the God who created the heart and the brain and the eyes and the mouth and the ears and the liver and the lungs and the kidneys, that God can work in my life. And for all of us, that's a personal decision. But let me make it really clear. Your problems aren't too big for God. It simply may be that you decide you're not going to believe God is big enough to handle your problems. Last week we talked about the importance of learning to rewrite your life, of learning to step back from your life and see your life with God's hand all over it. You know, it's easy for us, it's easy for me, to always focus on the things we don't like, on the bad, on the ugly, on the negative, to criticize, to be critical, to complain, to grumble. I've done it, I can do it. In fact, as a younger person, I lived in that reality. That was just my comfort zone. Griping, grumbling, complaining, that's my comfort zone. Criticizing everything, that's my comfort zone. Seeing all the bad in the world, that's my comfort zone. And I began to realize that as a new young Christian, I didn't have very much peace. I didn't have very much joy. And I began to realize as I read my Bible more and more and more, there was a reason. And the reason was I was violating a fundamental principle of the Word of God for mental health, for emotional health, and for joy. It's found in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers, fix your mind. Fix it on what is good, what is true, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is praiseworthy, what is excellent. And the God of peace will be with you. Well, I tended to fix my mind on all the things I didn't like. It's kind of like Mark Darling's life was always stuck in rush hour. Now, I'm sorry. I'll never get to a point I like rush hour. I admit that. But I do believe God's big enough to get me through it eventually. But for me, everything about life, everything about... I was, as a younger man, I mean, this is... I'm ashamed to admit this, but this is how I viewed my spouse. This is how I viewed my marriage. After a while, I just went by my feelings. My feelings were bad all the time, and I don't like this, and I don't like that, and this isn't what I expected, and all my expectations here aren't met, and I don't like this, and I wanted everything to change, and nothing was changing. Lo and behold, God wanted to change me. And I started to realize God wanted to give Mark an extreme makeover. And I wanted to give everybody else an extreme makeover. But God wanted to do something with me. On the inside of my life and the way I looked at life. And so I began a habit that I maintain to this day, and I'm not exaggerating, of counting my blessings, not my potholes. counting my blessings. I have a habit. I have journals at home full of God stories. And I'll talk just briefly about that this evening. But I want to illustrate the impact of what can happen in your life if you take some of the simple things you hear at the Rock. And you may think to yourself, well, that isn't so profound. I'd like to read something to you just briefly. I won't use the person's name, but I know they wouldn't mind if I shared this with you. I received this last week. Mark, this was after the service last week. Mark, thank you so much for another incredibly convicting and meaningful message. I'm sure many of us were struck. Thankfulness changes everything. I want to share something with you about thankfulness. It was exactly a year ago that I was just finishing up listening to the Renew series. Renew series is a very foundational series for your Christian life. You can find it on strongdisciple.com. I would load them onto my little iPod, take them to the gym, and listen while I lifted. I would often listen on the bus or while walking around campus as well. After a while of listening and trying to apply what I was learning, I noticed that my life was changing radically. Praise God. Rather than wallowing in my grief from my own sins and my shortcomings, I started to truly fix my eyes on what Christ did for me instead of what He wanted me to do. This allowed me to get back up and start fresh after each mistake rather than letting it weigh me down and making me feel guilty. The most important foundational change in my life, though, was thankfulness. I just began thanking God for everything. Eventually, I decided to make this an even more tangible discipline. In mid-January of 2013, after thinking about this for some time, I began my own log of blessings. Each day I recorded 7 reasons to be thankful. Some days recording just 7 was so easy. Other days, it was really difficult. But sitting down and seriously thinking of 7 ways that God had directly blessed my life that day began to completely change and alter my attitude. And I eventually found that as my identity became more rooted in Christ's sacrifice for me, and that as I made God my source of love and joy rather than the world, it opened the door for new blessings, big and small. By the end of the day today, I will have recorded 2,436 blessings. And by December 31st of this year, I will have recorded 2,555. Now I got to tell you, these kind of emails, they bring me to tears. These are the best Christmas presents I ever get. When someone finally does what they heard on Friday night. This would change your life. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I meant to do it earlier, but last week I encouraged you to go home and start a blessing list or blessing journal. Please don't take this advice here lightly. What I'm sharing with you is the Word of God. It will change your life. I am taking the Word of God and putting it into a way that you would understand it. It will radically change your life. I got an email. I meant to bring it to you tonight. Sometimes, you know, I know it's easy to show up on a Friday night and, you know, you see this guy in jeans and his leather coat and you wonder, I wonder what in the heck he knows. What does he know? Can I tell you something? It's who I know. It's who I know and what I know about him and what I've experienced. And I promise you that what he's taught me, if you do it, it will change your life. About 4 months ago, I received an email from a man, lives in another state. Young man, I met him twice. He was at last year's Faith Walkers conference. In case you wonder what kind of conference Faith Walkers is, he was at about 2,000 of us in Omaha, Nebraska. The last night of the conference, I did a message entitled, The 4 Absolute Requirements for Spiritual Growth. I was very honest, as I always am, very frank about my own journey, and I shared 4 simple truths. This young man, he wrote me a letter three, four months ago I received. He said, Mark, he said, my name is Greg. I got to tell you my story. When I showed up at Faith Walkers last year, I weighed 395 pounds. I thought there was no hope for me, Mark. I thought I could never change my life. But you shared some very profound, simple truths. You showed us how to simply do the basics, and you talked about the prayer walk, and you talked about taking responsibility right where you are right now for your life and just start. And you broke it down so easy for us, Mark. You said, just start with 15 minutes a day for the first month. See, I do an hour a day. I do almost three and a half miles every day. I have prayer walk around the entire planet, 26,000 miles. Anyone can do it. I'm not Superman. Anybody can do it. Do you want it? Do you want it? This young man, he wrote me, he said, Mark, I now weigh 280 pounds. I never thought I could get to this in my life. I prayer walk now, I'm up to 45 minutes. I just ran my first 5K. I started to change my diet, the little things you began to say. My life has come alive in ways I never imagined. I'm telling you, it's who I know. It's what I know about him. It's what I've experienced in my life. and what I find in the Word of God, and it will change your life. The Bible tells us to give thanks. The Bible tells us give thanks. Give thanks. Thankfulness will change your life. You and I are among the richest people in the world. As Christians, we are the richest. But from a purely circumstantial standpoint, we are among the richest people in the world. And I've told you, I know it just sounds crazy, but my wife can attest to this. There's hardly a day that goes by, certainly when I'm alone with the Lord. But I mean, sometimes I'll be in the bathroom, and I've been in other countries. I want to tell you, going to the bathroom in Honduras is not a pleasant experience. And in Haiti, it's the worst. Have you ever thanked God that you have a beautiful white commode to sit yourself on? In a comfortable, warm home with a fan and your wonderful favorite scented candle, whatever it is you want to use. And you can just sit there in the quietness and the safety of your own home. So you don't even, you think, well, you got to be kidding, Mark. Everybody has that. No, they don't. No, you are among the privileged people in the world to have what you have. Oh, and in my house, there's two. And in one bathroom, there's a his and a hers sink. And there's a nice, wonderful shower that I get to get into every day without mildew all over the place, with this beautiful little navy shower head that I paid $3.99 for, and it just squirts out so powerful. I just love that thing, man. And I keep my little CR27 junk around, and I clean the calcium out whenever it needs, and it's always fresh and clean. I got my little Berkey, and I got clean, fresh water every single day. I got wonderful ice cold water because I freeze it in the freezer and then get a big ice cube in it and then I let it melt for a while. I always have ice cold water. I'm not joking with you. I thank God for these things every day. I'm so blessed. We are so blessed. I'm so blessed to have my health. I'm so blessed to still have hair. I'm still blessed I can hear. I can talk. I still have teeth. I can chew. I have arms. I can hug my little grandchildren. And I just go over and over, and then I write down in my book, I write down these God stories as they happen. I write down the faithfulness of God stories in my life. It's hard not to have joy. You see, it's hard not to have joy when you live your life like that. I'm not saying I don't have trials. My goodness, I have trials. Nothing wrong with acknowledging we have trials, but we got to learn to rewrite our life. Tonight, I just want to simply share with you my greatest sources of hope. Tonight's entitled Building Hope. And I want to tell you how. Two profound ways in which you can build hope in your life. These are ongoing things. These are things I do over and over and over and over and over again. And they have built so much hope in my life. Now, what is hope? Hope is the confident expectation that good is coming. Let me say that again. Hope is the confident expectation good is coming. I may not have it all now, but I look at what God has already done, and I see the character of God revealed and what He's already done, and I know the Bible teaches me, and of course Christmas proves it, God is good. And what He does is good. And He delights, the Bible says, in doing good. More good is coming my way. And your way. So how do I build my hope and confidence? And what has helped me over the years? I want to read you several passages tonight. But let me start by just sharing this. For me, the first and greatest hope builder is God Himself. God Himself. His character. His promises about Himself. I replay over and over and over again in my mind God's highlight reels. In my mind and my heart. I'm amazed. I mean, I'm really amazed. When I was young, back in the last century, there was NBC, ABC, and CBS. That was it. And there would be one football show on, or maybe, you know, a college would be on one station, and there would be pro games on another station, but there wasn't 20 that you could watch at a time, and there wasn't ESPN 1, ESPN 2, ESPN 29, ESPN 23,000. There wasn't 55 bazillion sports channels playing over and over and over and over and over Michael Jordan. Oh, and then you got the classic games, and then you got LeBron, and then you got Lynn Swan, and you got Terry Bradshaw, and you can watch Joe Montana, and you can watch any guy you want to see. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And we got a lot of guys, and don't take this wrong, fellas, that are just kind of addicted to highlight reels of men. I'm addicted to highlight reels of God. I'm addicted to the highlight reels of God. And I go over and over and over in my mind the stories, the true, unbelievable stories in the arena of life in the Old Testament. I read them often. I think about them often. I've written songs about things in the Word of God. I'd like to read to you just a couple of Psalms this evening that have been very profound for me. I'd like you to think about them. Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing it everywhere around the world. Sing out His praises. Bless His name. Each day tell someone that He saves. Publish His glorious acts throughout the earth. Tell everyone about the amazing things He does. For the Lord is great beyond description and greatly to be praised. Worship only Him among the gods. For the gods of other nations are merely idols. But our God made the heavens. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and beauty are in His temple. O nations of the world, acknowledge that God alone is glorious and strong. Give Him the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come to worship Him. Worship the Lord with the beauty of a set-apart holy life. Let the earth tremble before Him. Let the nations know that God reigns. He rules the world. His power can never be overthrown. He will judge all the nations fairly. Let the heavens be glad, the earth rejoice. Let the vastness of the roaring seas demonstrate His glory. Praise Him for the growing fields. For the display, they display His greatness. Let the trees of the forest rustle with praise, for the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Psalm 95. Oh, come. Let us sing to the Lord. Give a joyous shout in honor of the rock of your salvation. Come before Him with thankful hearts. Let us sing Him psalms of praise, for the Lord is a great God, the great King of all gods. He controls the formation of the depths of the earth, and the mightiest mountains are all His. He made the sea, He formed the land, they are His as well. Come and kneel before your God, your Maker, for He is your God. We are His sheep, and He is our shepherd. Oh, that you would hear Him calling you today and come to Him. Don't harden your hearts as Israel did in the wilderness, for there your fathers doubted me. Though they had seen so many of my miracles, my patience was severely tried by their grumbling and complaining. They were a nation whose thoughts and hearts were far away from me. We can be no different. We can be no different. How? How do our hearts end up far away from God? Grumbling, whining, and complaining. We forget what God's done. We forget what He's given us. We look in the mirror and we forget, wait a minute. God made what I see. He gave me my eyes, my brain, my ears, this extraordinary body. It's extraordinary what God has done. And to be real honest, when I'm captivated by God, it's hard to have hope when you're not captivated by God. It's hard to have hope when all the problems of your life and the problems of the world are bigger in your eyes than God is big to you. God is extraordinary. My favorite text, and I read it often, is found in, I've just got to find it here. I thought I had it marked. When I mark it, there it is, it's marked. Listen to this. And I just want you to know sometimes people ask me, Mark, How come you raise your voice? Listen to this. This is Isaiah 40. The Lord has spoken, it shall be. The voice says, shout! That's what the Bible says. You can read it yourself. What shall I shout? I ask. Shout that man is like grass that dies away and all his beauty fades like the flower. The grass withers, the flower fades beneath the breath of God. And so it is with fragile man. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. See, what is he saying? He's saying, hey, wake up. Wake up. Don't you understand? All this stuff you so often pay attention to is dying. It's going to fade away. All the fame, all the glory of man fades away. Don't even remember their name. But I don't. God's word doesn't. God's promise doesn't. God's truth doesn't. Now, I love this. I'll take this handle any day. Oh, crier of good news, shout to Jerusalem from the mountaintops. Shout louder. Don't be afraid. Tell the cities, your God is coming. Yes, he is coming with mighty power. He'll rule with awesome strength. See, his reward is with him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd and carry the lambs in his arms. Who else has held the ocean in his hands or measured off the heavens with his ruler? Who else knows the weight of the earth or weighs the mountains and the hills? Who can advise the Spirit of the Lord or be his teacher or give him counsel? Has he ever needed anyone's advice? Did he need instruction as to what is right and best? No, not at all. For all the peoples of the world, all their knowledge, all their intellect are nothing in comparison with God. They're but a drop in the bucket, dust on the scale. All the nations and all their knowledge are as nothing to him. And in his eyes, they are less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. How do you describe God? With what can I compare him? With an idol? An idol made from a mold overlaid with gold and silver chains? Are you so foolish? Are you so deaf to the words of God, the words he gave before the world began? Have you never heard or understood? It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. He's the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He dooms the great men of the world and brings them all to nothing. Man, you just put names in there, the great men, the great conquerors that thought they were so great that the thoughts of their reign would never end, and they died and the worms ate their body and they're gone. They're gone. The kingdoms are gone. They hardly got started. They barely take root. When he blows on them, they wither. With whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Lord? Look up at the heavens. Who created all these stars? As a shepherd leads his sheep, calling each by its pet name, so the Lord counts every star, so none of them are lost. Oh, Christian. You put your name in this verse 27 of chapter 40. Oh, Christian, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your trouble and isn't being fair? Don't you understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary or distracted or bothered or loses track of you? No one can fathom the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and the worn out and strength to the weak. Even young people will be exhausted and young men will give up. But those who wait and hope in the Lord will renew their strength and vitality. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. I cannot even begin to tell you how many times I have read that. Did you know? One of the primary purposes, some of you have wondered this, Mark, there's an Old Testament, there's a New Testament. I don't have time tonight to get into you what are some of the primary differences. The word Old Testament means old covenant, old agreement. The New Testament means new agreement. But listen to this verse in Romans chapter 15 before I read this statement. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in earlier times, that's the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written when they wrote this. was written for your instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Old Testament, you might have hope. But how? What does that mean? One of the primary purposes of the Old Testament was that it might give you hope as you read what God did for Israel, for people, His wonders, His miracles, His mighty power revealed to us. Every day, for the last 38 years of my life, encourage myself in God, in God's truth, and I recount God's faithfulness. Day after day after day. This morning, I hope this doesn't embarrass you, but I've told it to you before. As I'm sitting on my little throne, I read five Psalms. Five. Not one, not a couple verses, five. And sometimes, because it's real early when I'm up, 3 a.m. is when I get up, I was on there around 4:30 this morning. I read them out loud, with vigor, like I read them to you. Now, I don't do that every time, but sometimes I do, with emphasis, with drama, and I read them, and then my ear hears them as well. And I rejoice in these awesome highlight reels of God, and what God is, and what God does. The second thing, and we'll end here shortly, that gives me incredible hope, and I may have never shared it like this with you before, but I have shared this. Prayer. Prayer gives me hope. I'm going to share with you why in a minute. I pray for one reason alone, because God hears me and God answers. Otherwise, what's the point? Prayer changes reality. Prayer changes things. Listen to these Psalms. Again, I want to read to you from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hears my prayers and He answers them. Because He bends down and listens, I will call to Him as long as I breathe, as long as I have breath. Death stared me in the face. I was frightened. I was sad. Then I cried, Lord, save me. How kind He is. How good He is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects the simple and the childlike. You see that? Gets back to faith. Unless you have faith as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you have faith as a little child, you cannot overcome. Little children believe. My grandchildren, if I tell them something, I really tell them something, and I look in their eye, they're so gullible. Oh, Grandpa, now, it's even greater because I have some trust developed. You know, they know that I've been very generous, and I've given them things before. They've seen me come through. So if I told them that I'm going to do such and such, or I'm going to give them something, they believe me. They believe me. My little grandson, he asked me, he said, Grandpa, you're so strong. One day we were over, we were wrestling. He goes, Grandpa, I bet you could just snap a man's arm. And I said, well, you keep believing that, son. That's cool. That's cool. Maybe a little boy's like yours. But I don't know. You know, I've never had to test that out. I'll have to try that sometime. Yeah. They're precious. I was facing death, and then He saved me. Now I can relax. For the Lord has done this wonderful miracle for me. He saved me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. I will live. Yes, in His presence here on earth, I will live. He has already saved us. He saved us in Jesus, and He continues to save us, and He continues to rescue us. Do you even see it? Do you understand? God hears when you call. And then Psalm 28, this was one of the ones I was pondering this morning. I plead with you to help me, Lord, for you are my rock of safety. If you refuse to answer me, I might as well give up and die. Lord, I lift up my hands to heaven and I implore your help. Oh, listen to my cry. Oh, praise the Lord, for He has listened to my pleadings. He is my strength, my shield from every danger. I trusted in Him, and He helped me. Joy rises in my heart until I burst out in songs of praise. The Lord protects His people and gives victory to His anointed King. We're all kings and priests in Jesus Christ. You're an anointed King. Is He giving you victory? Are you asking? You have not because you ask not. Last week, I didn't bring them again to read them, but last week, I shared with you 15 of the darling blessing, family blessings of the last 2013. I didn't include all of them, but I wrote 15. Now, I'm telling you right, and they were huge. There were some really big things. I'm being very honest with you. Every single one of them I prayed for. Every single one of them was a direct answer to pleading, to crying, to praying over and over and over and over again. And God answers. And God answers. If I did not know that God heard, that God would answer, I would give up. I can tell you that right now. I would give up. When I did a few years ago, you think, well, Mark makes this stuff up. Why I need prayer to live? I was not exaggerating. Prayer is my lifeline. If I could not pray, if prayer is not valid, if God does not hear, if He had not answered, and I've kept track of so many of those answers to remind my depraved, forgetful, selfish heart that my God answers. If that were not true, I'd give up right now. I just give up. Forget it all. The world is too big, too overwhelming. There's too many problems. There's too many issues. God answers prayer. Your prayers matter to God. Now, some of you here tonight, you're thinking to yourself, you know, Mark, we need to have a talk. And by the way, I'd love to. Any of you want to write me anytime, Mark at Rock the Church, those of you that have, many of you who have, you know I will respond. I will respond to you. Sometimes I respond with an hour reply. It took me an hour to write back to you. And I will respond with gentleness and try to help you understand. But some of you are thinking to yourself, you know what? I tried the prayer thing, Mark, and it don't work. No, let me explain something to you. This is the difference between you and me. Until you've prayer walked 26,000 miles or prayed 1 hour a day for 30 years in a row, no, you won't see what I've seen. I'm being really frank with you, really honest with you. You gave up. You gave up. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us this profound story. Actually, Jesus told it. It's a story of Jesus. He tells His disciples, He said, and Jesus told His disciples this story so they would learn to pray and never give up. There was a certain widow in a town, and she had her land stolen from her, and there was a judge in that town, and he did not fear God, and he did not care about man. And the woman went to the judge, and she said, please give me justice. He said, woman, get out of here. She was a poor woman. He didn't respect her. He said, get out of here. Get out of my presence. I'm not going to deal with you. And day after day after day after day, she showed up at town hall. 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 Finally, the judge exclaims, woman, she's going to drive me crazy. So I'm going to give her what she asked for, or I'm going to lose my mind. Now, this is Jesus telling the story. This is God, Jesus, He's God. And He says, now learn the lesson from the persistent widow. And remember, God is not an unrighteous judge. God loves to give good gifts to His children. God loves to answer. God loves to respond. But you know how Jesus ended the story? He said this, but when the Son of Man returns, that's a little ways away, will He find faith on the earth? Now that's interesting. Wait a minute, Jesus. Wait. What? You're talking prayer. Why didn't you say, when the Son of Man returns, will He find you praying? Because it's the same thing. Your faith is measured by your prayer life. That's the truth. That's the truth. Now, I'm not saying, you know, so if I pray 8 hours a day, do I have a lot of faith? I'm just saying you have to develop a prayer life, and you have to learn not to give up, and you have to learn to keep praying. And of course, you know, I'm being really honest. I prayed about all kinds of things. I've prayed about all kinds of things. I've never prayed for a Rolls Royce, okay? I've never prayed for a Mini Cooper, but I'm going to tell you this. This is no lie. When my daughter was sick, very, very sick, and it was costing sometimes $8,000 to $10,000 a month for her care that insurance would not cover, you know what I did? Want to talk about the Old Testament? Let me share with you how the Bible changes, transforms my life. So there's a story in the Old Testament about Elijah. And Elijah is really hungry, and he goes to this widow's house, and the widow, she has a boy, and she has one little bit of olive oil in a bottle left and a little flour, and she tells Elijah, he says, could I have something to eat? She said, all I got is this oil and this flour, and I was going to make it, and we're going to have our last meal, we're going to die. Elijah says to her, all right, here's the deal. You make me something to eat, and then you go out and gather as many pots from all your neighbors as you can get. As many of those old, you know, those old-fashioned, big-shaped things. As many as you can get. Just bring them. So she goes out and she gets them. And Elijah takes that little thing, and he fills every single pot with that. So you know what I do? I still do this to this day. I say, Lord, I'm asking you right now. That you do that with my finances. I'm asking you, Lord, that you take that widow's, just like the widow's oil, and that you bless this money. I don't know where this money is going to come from. I ask you to multiply my loaves and fishes. I ask you to multiply my money. I ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, multiply it. For me? No. So I can go spend it on Mark? No. And God did it. And $150,000 later, Jessica was well. Every dollar came in. Now about 50 of that was mine, and about 100 was sent from places all over the country. And then one day, and this is no lie, some things happened. Prayers started coming together after this unbelievable ordeal, and it was like God just turned off the faucet and just boom, and it stopped. It just stopped on one day. I have it written down in my book. Just boom, stopped. I'm telling you, I've lived this stuff. I'm not making this up. I want you to understand what God could do in your life. You are never in a hopeless situation. You are never in a hopeless situation. Never. Where there is God, there is hope. Where there is prayer, there is reason to hope. Now, is everything in my life just worked out like I thought it might? No. Do I wish there were 10,000 people here and we had a 10 times bigger auditorium? Of course I do. And God is God and I am me. And God has every right to say to me, Mark, wait, not right now, some future time, or have other plans. But I'm telling you this, Jesus also said, ask and you will receive. And I'm going to keep asking. And I'm going to keep asking. And I'm going to keep asking. And there's a lot of things I'm not going to get into tonight. I'm just going to keep asking. There's many of you in this room that I know of your struggles, your issues, and I pray for you every day. I pray for you. And little by little, you don't know this, I get some of your emails, and there they are. There are some of those answers. The shell's starting to crack. The life's starting to change. A little bit. Oh, and then I hear something, and then I realize, okay, I need to pray for that more. Oh, I thought that one got answered. Okay, we need to go back. I need to pray for that. God is real. God loves you. And wherever there's God, there is hope. And He lives in your life. Now I hope and pray to God with all my heart that this Christmas, this year, you will do something with this stuff. Do something with it. Start your own. You don't have to write. I realize the young person who sent me this, writing 7 down a day, I've never written 7 down a day. Bless that young person's heart. That's an extreme amount of discipline, but I'm telling you, they're reaping a wonderful reward. How about you start with 2 things a day? How about you just look back over this last year and you write down your own blessings? What has God done in my life? What prayers has God answered? Where is the faithfulness of God? Let me just look at the goodness of God. Let me just write down the good things that are in my life. Whether you prayed for them or not, they're good. They're lovely. They're true. They're worthy of thanking God for. And make a commitment to do it for this month, next month, the month after that. You alone will benefit. It'll transform your life. It'll change your life. You know what else will happen? You will be a person who will be able to give hope to other people. Hopeless people can't give hope to anyone. It is only inspired men that inspire men. It is only inspired women that inspire women. Let's pray. While your heads are bowed, I want to read this verse in closing. I know the Lord wants this one read. Lamentations 3:21. Yet there is this one ray of hope. His compassion never ends. It is only the Lord's mercy that keeps us from complete destruction. Great is His faithfulness. His loving kindness begins fresh every day. My soul claims the Lord as my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for Him, to those who seek Him. It is both good to hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Father, we just thank You tonight for this season. This season is all about hope. Your Son is the hope of the world. He's the joy of the world. He's the only one who can bring peace to the world. And He's the only one who can fill us with hope. And I just ask You tonight, Lord, that You'd help us to be men and women who go home and through faith, we begin to do. We become doers of the word, doers of truth, that we realize I don't have to stay in this ditch. I don't have to stay here. And little by little, by little, by little, Lord, You just transform our lives. Help us, Father. I just bless You tonight, Lord. My life tonight, Lord, it's only because of You. It's only because of You I have hope at all. It's not because of anything I've done. Oh, Lord, the answers to prayer, I can't take credit for any of them. It's You. You're a gift giver. You are a compassionate and generous God. You are a faithful God to Your promises. And I praise You tonight. I praise You tonight for everything, Lord, that You've done and all the answers You've given. And I ask You to move profoundly in every life here in Jesus' name. Amen.